Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come and study the word of truth. Lord, we pray as we study together that we as saints in the body of Christ, that we will be edified, that we will be encouraged, and that we will be enlightened in your holy scriptures tonight. And Lord, when it's all said and done, we know that it's you that get all the glory. And Lord, we pray tonight that when we come away from this study, that we will be edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we thank God, my brothers and sisters, for another opportunity to be here. And like I said, these messages, they will be going up on YouTube and Facebook. So a serious question tonight, if you die tonight, where will your soul spend eternity? My brothers and sisters, Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My brothers and sisters, I am crucified with Christ. And the life which I now live, not the life of Adam, that life is gone. The only way to live the Christian life is to stay at the cross. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. If you are a sinner, just doing better would not save you. You must believe the gospel by which we are saved. And that's 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Paul pinned it down when he said, more of a brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, Paul says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. This is the gospel we must believe in order to be saved, my brothers and sisters. There is so much going on in this world today and in society. But we're going to talk tonight about weathering the storms in life, or of life, or weathering the storms in life. God has the remedy, my brothers and sisters. God has the remedy. He has given us the remedy. None of us are exempt from troubles. Even the Lord Jesus Christ experienced them. Difficulties in life exist because of the curse of sin. You can read that in Romans 8:18-23. Bad choices that we and others make also come, bring about troubles. Galatians 6:7-8 tell us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that he also shall reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And persecutions for choosing to live godly in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 3:12. While suffering will not be abolished until our death or the rapture, we need not lapse in the mentality of hopelessness. Folks are looking around, many saints in the body of Christ, looking around what's going on in the world, and many are feeling hopeless. God has the answer, the key to those awful circumstances. It is human nature to avoid trouble. This is especially beneficial for self-preservation. Consequently, the prosperity theology that many hear, God will rid you of all your financial, romantic, and medical problems, that is often promoted today under the disguise of Christianity, is very popular. Sometimes we think that since we are in the will of God and part of God's plan of reconciliation, our lives would be free of problems. We expect open doors, green lights, and blue skies. But many times it's the opposite. Doors slam in our face, obstacles appear in our paths, and storms threaten to blow us off course. Paul and Barnabas, they traveled, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God, Acts 14:22. Paul and Barnabas knew that Christians would suffer persecution and other troubles. They knew firsthand, and that Satan would use those dire circumstances to discourage them and subvert their spiritual growth. Thus, Paul and Barnabas encouraged them not to grow weary. If you're seeking to obey the Lord, expect oppositions. And when we get into our study tonight, we're going to see here Paul on a journey. We're going to get into it. My brothers and sisters, if you're seeking to obey the Lord, expect opposition. Expect obstacles. Expect difficulties. But also expect that God will see you through. 2 Timothy, we already said, 3:12, tell us that if we live God in Christ Jesus, we shall suffer persecution. The world is living in fear due to the coronavirus. Many are getting sick and dying. Many are afraid to go out freely in public like we used to. The new normal is wearing masks everywhere we go. Even they are not directly infected. Millions are feeling the economic effects. The unemployment rate has fallen lower than during the Great Depression. My brothers and sisters, in the United States alone, over 30 million people have lost their jobs, and many can't afford to even put food on the table. The whole world is panicking, but the people of God can have inner peace. The deeper root of our peace and comfort during this global pandemic come from the assurance and faith that our mighty God, He's in absolute control. He is the sovereign one whom all creation submits to. God is the author of life and death. Whether I live or die, we are in Christ. Romans 14:18. So in Christ there is eternal life. Romans 6:23. So tonight, I want to say to those listening in, be of good courage. There was no obstacle big enough to stop Apostle Paul. As we look at his life, we see that he always seems to rise above his circumstances. When he encountered storms, both literally and figuratively, he knew that God had shown him what to do. And he would let nothing deter him from that course. Now, this message tonight zooms in on the storm that Paul and the passengers encountered on a ship voyage, my brothers and sisters, to Rome. Acts 27:1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of August band. The apostle calm disposition as the ship rolled in swelling waves is a prime example of faith which resonates with the story of Jesus who peacefully slept during a violent storm out on the Sea of Galilee. Now, the setting of this message takes us to the books of Acts, where Paul is finally heading to Rome after enduring many trials and much suffering. If you look at his circumstance, Paul isn't exactly going there as a glorified guest or a visitor, but as a prisoner. In the spiritual aspect, he is sailing off to Rome, a victorious and triumphant apostle, Jesus Christ, to further gospel to the world. Paul's voyage wasn't smooth sailing, but certainly, my brothers and sisters, one that Luke reckoned important enough to record in scrupulous detail, as it holds a deep spiritual message for believers today. This account of Paul's voyage is so enriching to us saints in the body of Christ and revisited today by numerous believers. The voyage of Paul can bring so much comfort and peace in the times of unrest and chaos when we study it. Paul's journey was a journey of faith and encouragement to us saints in the body of Christ. Acts 27:9-11. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already passed, Paul admonished them. And he said in verse 10, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading in the ship, but also of our lives. Paul said, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things was spoken by Paul. Now, it was after the Day of Atonement, which was a Jewish festival observed around the end of September to early October. It started getting cold around this time, indicating that the winter is near. The strong winter winds of the Mediterranean Sea were starting to blow, and by then it was too late in the season and too dangerous to sail. We in Acts 27, my brothers and sisters. So Paul warned them. When Paul originally warned them that this was a foolish choice, they obviously thought he didn't know anything about selling. But when the storm hit and it looked as though they wouldn't make it, suddenly Paul's words had a new ring of authority in their ears. How many times have godly parents, mature saints, and those who are spiritual given us sound doctrine with warnings of what would happen if we choose to do things our way and not God's way? Children and teenagers are great at not listening to their parents and choose to find out the hard way by choosing to do things their way. There are consequences for the choices we make in life. How many times have God warned us of the consequences of not doing what God has told us to do in His Word? We all have been guilty of doing what we want to do and not what God's Word says. Paul had a strong premonition that this wasn't going to end well. He is like a weather forecaster. There must be a reason why his internal radar sensed the impending disaster voyage. So he warned the centurion, and Luke wanted to indicate, Luke is the writer, that the Apostle Paul is showing us the way and giving us guidance in the voyage of our lives. So when you look around the world today, look at this message. Go back and read these scriptures in this passage. Now, following the expert advice of the pilot and owner of the ship who had years of experience, traversing the water seemed like the right thing to do. After all, they would know better than Paul, right? But Luke wants to point out that the centurion still should have listened to the words of Paul. Instead of heeding the apostle's warning, they cast off and continued the journey. Now let's look at Acts 27:13-15. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing this, they sailed close to by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a temperate wind called a usocyclone. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up the wind, we let her dry. What these verses saying, that the confidence they started off with quickly won when a powerful storm came their way, battering their ship and rendering it powerless to the force of the wind. The passengers must have been deadly terrified as their ship violently pitched and rolled into the rough seas. How many times when we don't do what God tells us to do and we set our own course in life, and when we get out there, we're terrified of some of the things that we experience, the heartaches and the pains that comes from not listening to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The passengers must have been terrified. Now Acts 27:18-20, and we be exceedingly tossed with a tempest. The next day they lightened the ship. Verse 19, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. For many days, neither the sun nor the star appearing, meaning it was dark. How many of you done had those type of days in your life? Darkness signifies a state of being lost and helpless to the point of losing hope. That's what sinners are in the dark, lost and helpless. They need the light of the glorious gospel, the grace of God. That was our predicament at one time also. We was once in darkness. Ephesians 2:1-2 says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin, where in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The situation out there with Paul, it had become dire. Acts 27:21-22. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sir, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosened from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Everyone on the ship had gone a long time without food. But look at this. While the situation was dire and to many hopeless, the Apostle Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. What Paul is saying to us tonight is that when the Word of God says do it his way, we should do it. Because if not, there will be consequences that will bring heartaches and pain. Paul said if you would have just listened, then you would have spared yourself the damage and the loss. If you just listen, God, to those listening, God says, study to show thyself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's how the Holy Spirit takes us back to his word and shows us where we went wrong. And he shows us that if we had just listened to God's word and not ourselves, we wouldn't be in the predicament that we find ourselves in at times. In the midst of all the heartaches, persecution, suffering, pain that comes from not following out with God's word, God shows us that he would never forsake us or leave us and that he loves us. Paul knew the storm was coming, and they did not. He warned them about the storm, but they ignored his warnings. That's what we as saints, we are light to the world. We telling those who are lost, we're warning them there are dire consequences for not believing the gospel of the grace of God. My brothers and sisters, Paul knew a storm was coming. And I can tell you tonight from studying God's word, we haven't seen nothing yet. Coronavirus don't have nothing on what's coming in this world. And what saints in the body of Christ, what we should expect in the last days in the dispensation of grace in the body of Christ. He warned them about the storm, but they ignored his warning. And when the storm hit, they began to despair. How many are in despair tonight? Because they just won't listen to God's word. In the same way many Christians study God's word, God's way, right divided, know something that a lot of saints in the body of Christ and non-believers don't know. Those who study God's word, God's way, know what God is doing, and they know what the future of the church, the body of Christ, is going to look like in the last days of the dispensation of grace. They also know what the world is going to look like and be like. Those who don't know God's word think that humanity will create its own utopia, will solve its own problems and bring about a new world order. Those who don't know God's word are relying on man to fix the problems. They're relying on man to change the laws. They're relying on man to take the loss from being out of Adam, my brothers and sisters, and to get in Christ instead of believing the gospel of the grace of God. They think that all nations of the world one day will live in peace and harmony. That's what Satan got them all fooled and deceived into thinking that. But any student of the scriptures know this won't be the case. We know that politicians would not solve our problems. We know that the nations would not be able to resolve their differences and live in harmony. We know that the judgment is ultimate coming, and we warn people about it just as Paul warned the people on his ship. Look at what Paul says in Acts 27:22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Paul said, I urge you to keep up your courage. And that's what I'm telling you tonight, because not one of you, Paul said, would be lost. Only the ship would be destroyed. Now let's look at this. Paul was not focusing on the temporary things. He was looking at that internal. What's going on the inside? At a time like this, Paul gives some very encouraging words. Keep up your courage, because none of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Paul knew a storm was coming, but even when they ignored his warning, Paul didn't lose hope. Take courage, he told them, for I believe God, it will be just as he said. In other words, Paul was saying, stop looking at the temporary things. Instead, focus on the eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:8, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Be encouraged tonight. Even though you see the world in turmoil. Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now look at here, as we head towards the close for the night. But we'll continue on next week, Acts 27:23 through 25. For there stood by me, Paul said, this night, I'm in Acts 27:23 through 25, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am, look at what Paul said, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that fail with thee. Wherefore, sir, Paul said, be of good cheer. He said, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. When they were trembling with fear of death, Paul says, you will not die. He has faith because he knew it was God's will for him to go to Rome. The prisoners on the ship must have served various foreign gods. Paul speaks of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. Let me stop right here and explain verse 23, because I don't want saints and others listening to go away saying that we have guardian angels to watch over us and protect us. From looking at what Paul was saying, Acts 27:23 through 24, we know Acts is a transitional book, but Paul says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. At this time in Paul's ministry, Paul was still receiving revelations from God. The angel of the Lord was a communication line from God to Paul. God communicates with us today only one way, through his written word, preserved word. And his will for us and his commandment to us are given only through Apostle Paul's scriptures today. Paul's scriptures are Romans through Philemon. God has not given any new revelation today. God has fulfilled his word to us through the written and preserved scriptures of the Holy Bible. Now be advised that if you are hearing voices, that's not God, but his adversary. Apostle Paul is the last person who received word from the Lord. That's why Paul wrote Colossians 1:25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Fulfill means finish, complete, accomplish, done. I repeat, God is not given any new words from himself today through anyone nor any angels. If you are being contacted by an angel, it's a fallen angel. If you are telling people that you have a word for them from an angel, you're in error and are being deceived. Apostle Paul wrote Galatians 1:8, but though we are angels from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. When Satan transforms himself into an angel of light, it is a facade, an outward appearance that is maintained to hide Satan's true evil nature. God is not talking to us audibly nor in visions today. God only communicates with us through the one place that many saints in the body of Christ do not want to listen, to not look in. He is only communicating to us through his word. And God's instructions for us today are specifically given to us through Paul's right. In addition, Paul tells us plainly that he was the last person to see the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't believe anyone's story that they had encounter with Jesus. That is simply not true. They have been deceived also, for it wasn't Jesus who they encountered, but his imminent enemy posing as the Lord, speaking of the Lord. Paul verified the truth of the matter in writing. 1 Corinthians 15:8. And last of all, he, talking about Jesus, was seen of me. Now make the decision today to always believe God's written word and preserve word over a feeling, idea, or experience that someone might have. In our lesson tonight, Paul is saying in the midst of our storms, we can be comforted by the great truth that we belong to him. Time and time again, God reminded Paul of his presence, no doubt when he needed it the most. In the same way, God knows what we need and when we need it. He referred to God as the God whom I serve. Paul was a man under orders. He was going where God instructed him to go. In most companies today, if you are injured on the job, you usually are insured. As an employee, you're taken care of. In the same sense, God would take care of us by strengthening us in our inner man as we suffer for his sake. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So Acts 27:25, where Paul said, wherefore, besides, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul was saying, hey, guys, the Lord has seen me through, and he's going to finish what he has begun. One of the things that amazed me about Paul is how he always seemed to rise to the top of every situation. Paul started as a prisoner, but in a short time, the crew, captain, soldier, and the Roman centurion were taking orders from him. Paul's life wasn't always easy. In fact, it was very difficult, but he never seemed to let things get him down. That's a sign of a mature saint that truly have doctrine rightly divided on the inside and is walking and applying it in every situation of life. They are walking in the Spirit. A lot of time when a storm comes, when a crisis hit, we want out. We want an airlift out of our problems. But many don't understand that we learn through the midst of storms. We grow and our faith becomes strong in God and his word. And we truly begin to see that his grace is sufficient. Paul wrote in Romans, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have troubles or calamities, or are we persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Paul says in Romans 8:35 and 37-39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In verse 37-39, nay, in all things, and as we close, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Look at it. He wasn't selfish. He said, separate us, you and I, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Remember when Paul wrote, who shall separate us from the love of Christ in Romans 8:35? He listed troubles, things in the following verses. Why the pronoun who? Who is the who? 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 Who is that who Paul is talking about? Satan. Satan will use various difficult circumstances to cause us to lose sight of the love of God we enjoy in Christ Jesus. The Holy Bible, right divided, provides us with sound, healthy, nourishing doctrine. Read 1 Timothy 1:10-11, which gives us a sober mind, one that is mature and steadfast in God's word to us, guarding our minds against Satan deceptions. Notice that Paul used the phrase, all these things. He didn't say some of these things right here in Romans. In all things, we have overwhelming victory through Jesus Christ. Paul says, I am persuaded. Paul is saying, it's not my faithfulness, but his faithfulness. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray as those who listen in, that they were encouraged. Lord, that they were enlightened. and that they came away from your word edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.